It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVionier. Welcome to an hour of radio westerns. Later on, we hear Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince in Fort Laramie, but right now it's the Frontier Gentleman. This episode, known under several titles, including The Gambling Lady, from June 29, 1958, on CBS.
I met a gambler in Wyoming Territory and learned something about the terrible war between the states.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
When I returned to Cheyenne in Wyoming Territory, I found that a new and thriving establishment had opened during my absence. I first heard of it over a drink with Carrie Chase, the editor and publisher of the Cheyenne Daily Press. We were standing at the bar in the Gold Room Saloon, and I remarked on the fact that the adjacent gambling rooms seemed unusually quiet.
Been like this over a week now.
Any particular reason?
I guess you haven't heard about Madame Verdi.
No.
Quite a woman. Sailed in here 10 days ago, in Denver, they say. Got the biggest painted freight wagon you ever saw. And some kind of a omnibus for her to travel in. Well, I tell you, no lady's boudoir was ever decked out any better.
And is she a medicine woman?
Oh, no, no. Gambling. Set herself up near the depot, a big tent, roulette, faro, anything you name. Brought in her own dealers, case keepers, spindlemen. Day after she arrived, posters went up all over town. And since then, well, the local boys aren't very happy about it.
Taking all their business, huh?
Just about.
What sort of woman is she?
I tried to get an interview. Not much luck. Doesn't like to talk about herself. But I tell you, there's a story there. I'd like to get it. Yes, sir. Quite a woman.
Pretty?
Pretty and a lady. A real belle.
Madame Verdi. Is she foreign?
I wouldn't say so. And why don't you go down and take a look this afternoon? I'd like to join you, but I got to get my editorial out. Maybe I'll see you later.
Right. I found the tent, a huge affair, 100 yards or so from the railroad depot. Inside, a crowd of men thronged about several tables, and I recognized a number of wealthy cattlemen whom I had met a few weeks earlier at the Cheyenne Club. Then I saw Madame Verdi. She was rather small, quite lovely, wearing a very simple white and gold gown which set off her long, jet-black hair. The effect was striking, as I was sure it was meant to be. She sat behind a small table dealing a game called 21. As I approached, she looked up, caught my eye for a moment, then returned to the game. I stood watching.
Cards?
You can hit me again, ma'am. Oh, that's just fine.
You, sir?
I stand.
Pay 21.
I'll lob you.
No language, if you please, gentlemen.
I ain't never seen such luck since Buck the Tiger against Tinhorn down Abilene. And when he got through, I didn't have a tail feather left.
The luck of the cards.
Yeah.
You want to sit in, sir?
There's
room for another.
No, thank you. 21 isn't exactly my game.
We have roulette, faro, dice, poker.
As a matter of fact, I came to see you.
Yeah, well, you ain't alone, mister. You see, there ain't nobody I'd rather lose to. You can go them out again, madam.
What's your business?
I'm a newspaper man. I write for the London Times.
Well, you English fellas sure are filling up the territory. Yeah, it seems like there's as many of you as the Sioux here.
Are we playing or are we talking?
Cards, gentlemen.
You can hit me now, man. And again, soft, nice and soft. Yeah, well, I'll stay on this.
Hit me.
No, that ain't luck. Now, let me see them cards.
Oh, now, you take these here.
Now, look here. I've been losing for better than 2 hours. I say that ain't luck. Now, unless you want me to shoot up this place, you just hand over that money you've been cheating me on.
Put your gun away.
Yes, I would if
Mister,
I were
you. Mister, listen, you're willing to buck out and smoke, you just keep out of this. All right, Madam Verdi, I got 1,000 in gold laying in front of you. Now, you just push it over and I won't
no,
be any...
No, you don't.
Yeah, now, mister, you know, for an Englishman, you got a real likely fist there. Hey, look at that. He's asleep and as gentle as a dead cat.
Is everything all right, ma'am?
Yes, thank you, Ed. Take him outside and throw a bucket of water over.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell Charlie to take over from me.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, you leaving, ma'am?
For a little while.
Well, I'll be waiting for you. Still got a ways to go before I'm cleaned out.
Perhaps you'll let me stand you a drink, sir.
No, thank you. It's a little early for me.
I'm grateful for what you did just now. But really, it wasn't necessary. He never would have left the tent alive. My boys are always on the watch for things like that.
I didn't know.
What do they call you?
Kendall. J.B. Kendall.
Will you come over to my place, Mr. Kendall? It's quieter.
Well, I'm overwhelmed, Madame Verdi. I must say I've never seen anything like it.
My home on wheels. I'm a traveling woman, Mr. Kendall, but I see no reason to give up my comforts. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Are you fond of birds, Mr. Kendall?
I don't think I've ever thought of it one way or the other.
This is my pet, Trinket. She's been with me for 3 years now. I don't usually talk to newspaper men.
So I understand. Mr. Chase of the Cheyenne Press told me he didn't have much luck.
Some newspaper men have been rather unkind.
Well, I think that readers in England would be fascinated by you.
What, for example, would fascinate them?
The obvious. That a young and very pretty woman is running the most successful gambling establishment in Cheyenne. And she bears the somewhat unusual name, Madame Verdi.
It used to be Madame Vestal. That was in Denver.
And before that?
I was Mrs. Newt Hallett. My husband was an army surgeon. He died in Texas of yellow fever.
Oh.
After that, I tutored for a while at an Indian agency. Then I found that I possessed an uncommon skill with the cards. There now. You have my entire history.
Or at least something to start with. Where were you born?
I think that's one thing that I don't care to tell you.
Where were you reared?
And that's another.
Does the sort of thing that happened before in the tent occur very often?
No.
Do men take advantage of you simply because you're a woman?
To the contrary. I usually take advantage of that fact myself.
With dire results, I have no doubt. Well, I imagine that you're not particularly popular at this moment with the gambling hall owners here in Cheyenne.
I'm only interested in popularity, Mr. Kendall. When it fills my cash box.
I stayed on for another 10 minutes odd and learned very little more beyond the fact that the full name she now used was Lurline Monteverdi. Highly theatrical, she knew, but felt it was part of her work. When I once again attempted to probe into her past, she excused herself rather abruptly and returned to the big gambling tent. I walked over to Carrie Chase's office and told him about the interview. It wasn't until later that I learned what was taking place at that same moment in a room behind the Silver Dollar Saloon. Several men were present, and their faces were grim. They were listening to the Silver Dollar's owner, a man named Jonas Root.
Well, I gotta be
Now, boys, I call this here meeting because we're all up against the same trouble. That trouble being one calico queen named Madame Verdi. There ain't no call now for us to keep on trying to cut each other's throats to get customers for our places, because she's got them all. That's the way it sits. Now, boys, here's what I figure. What we need now is an association of gambling parlor owners, which association is made up of all of us here in this room. And we got a purpose, which purpose is to get rid of said calico queen named Madame Verdi.
All right, now lay off your tongue all, Jonas. We know that. You said you got it figured out how to do it. Now get
yeah,
on with it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I got it whipped, I think. Now, all of you may be wondering who this here fella is I got sitting by.
Yeah, well, who
he
is
he? He calls himself Jack Wolcott. Now, he's got something to say to you.
Well, you see, it's this way. I just got robbed up to that Madame Verdi. She took me for 1,021, and when I caught her dealing off the bottom of the deck, she had her boys jump me.
Well, they sure made a mess out of your face, mister.
Well, I aim to make them pay for it.
Now, fellas, we don't want no crooked gambling from no she-gouger in Cheyenne. And there's something else. I've been doing some inquiring these past days since you've been here. Now, I found out... Yes, sir, I found out something's going to get Fancy Nelly run plumb out of here.
Jonas, will you haze the talk? Now, what do you know?
Madame Verdi's real name was Belle Siddons.
Belle Siddons? You mean Belle Siddons?
Yeah, you know the name, Soapy.
She's that Confederate spy, Belle Siddons?
She is the same.
Well, I was on guard duty in Grant Street Prison back in St. Louis when they brought her in. Boys! That's that Reb woman got Grant's troops cut off. Joe, Finch, Big Al, you remember the raid on the Memphis and Mobile Railroad, don't you?
All right, now, I say that what we got to do is pay a call tonight on Madame Belle Siddons Verdi. And we'll ask her nice and polite to roll her wheels out of Cheyenne.
Yeah, I agree, but supposing she says no.
Well, then maybe we ain't so polite. Maybe then we take her out riding under a cottonwood leaf.
Yeah, that's it.
Neither Chase nor I had any idea what was brewing among the members of the newly formed Association of Gambling Parlor Owners. I sent a message to Madame Verdi, asking her to dine with me at the Rollins house that night. You know, I didn't think you would.
Join you for dinner? Why not?
I don't know. Perhaps you strike me as the type of woman who never allows pleasure to interfere with business, and that there's only room for business in your life.
As a rule, yes.
Well, I'm flattered that you make an exception tonight.
I'm curious about you, Mr. Kendall.
Oh?
You're not the type of man I would expect to find as a newspaper correspondent.
Is there a type?
I think you know what I mean.
No, I'm not sure that I do.
The way you managed that man this afternoon, something tells me that you could have done quite as well with a gun.
Oh. Well, I've learned a little since coming to the West.
And what did you do before coming here?
Well, a little of everything.
You don't like to talk about yourself?
There's not much to tell. Really. I was in the army in India. Spent 5 years there. Went home to England. And I didn't find it home anymore, so I got a job through a friend of mine who works on the London Times. I send back articles on life in the American West. They buy them from me.
I've met Englishmen who sound a great deal more English than you do.
It's quite possible. I haven't cultivated the accent for some time now.
You sound bitter. What happened in England?
I didn't say anything happened.
You didn't have to.
Must be your card sense that gives you an insight into a man's thoughts.
I'm seldom wrong. That's why I sit on the other side of the table. You see, it's so easy to ask questions. Not always as simple to answer them, is it?
No. Will you have more champagne?
Please. If I were asked to gamble on it, I'd say there was a woman in England.
You'd be half right.
You look so stern, Mr. Kendall. Don't worry. There'll be another. There always is.
Did you find another man after your husband died?
No. But I imagine I will. You find me terribly callous?
Not at all. Refreshingly honest.
I'm afraid I shall have to be going back to the tent now.
I'll take you.
I've enjoyed myself very much, Mr. Kendall.
So have I.
Have you any money?
Well, a little, yes.
You decide to play roulette. I suggest that you bet on the black. Up to $1,000 payoff, it can be quite lucky.
Thank you, no. When I gamble, I'll take my own chances. It was a fine evening, and instead of taking the carriage she had hired, we walked toward her place. Neither of us spoke much. We had come to the end of the street when we saw the group of men waiting outside the big tent. They turned as we approached and walked toward us. I felt a sinking sensation in my stomach as I recognized one of them, the man I had hit that afternoon. All of them were armed.
Good evening, Madam Verdi.
Good evening, gentlemen. Waiting to try your luck with me?
Well, I'll tell you, ma'am. We're waiting to talk to you in private.
That fella, he's with her. He's one of them that pistol whipped me. He's a shill.
Let's go inside the tent, gentlemen. I'll buy you a drink.
No. We'll do our talking out here.
Jason, will you get on with it?
And, ma'am, we represent the Cheyenne Association of Gambling Parlor Owners. You ain't a member.
No, I'm not.
And we got a complaint that you're not running your games clean. The association don't like that. So we took a vote, and we agreed that you've got to be out of this here town come morning.
Where did you hear that Madame Verdi runs a crooked game? From him?
Yeah, from me.
Besides which, she ain't no Madame Verdi. I know you. Maybe you don't remember me, but I seen you, Bell Siddons, when they brought you to the St. Louis prison in chains. We don't want no Confederate spies in Cheyenne.
I don't know anything about that, but she wasn't cheating. Your friend here decided he couldn't afford to lose anymore, so he drew his gun on the lady and tried to get it back. I hit him. That's all there was to it.
You're a liar.
And if I don't choose to leave?
You ain't got no choice, Belle. You get, or you're going to find yourself looking through cottonwood leaves, which is what should have happened to you anyway. That's the way we handle your kind around here.
There won't be any need for that. Miss Siddons is going to be sensible, ain't you, ma'am? There's a lot of folks in Cheyenne might not take kindly to you being a Confederate spy and everything. Might even take matters out of our hands if they found out.
You gentlemen seem to be holding the cards.
That's the way to look at it.
Hey, Kendall.
Who's that?
Oh, a newspaper fella, Chase.
I thought that was you. Evening, ma'am.
Evening.
Oh, how are you, Rude?
Boys.
You come over to see how she does it. I hear your places aren't making out so well. I thought I'd take a spin at the roulette table, Madam Verdi.
I should be honored, Mr. Chase. Why don't we all go in together?
No, I got to be getting back to the Silver Dollar. You won't forget our little deal, will you, ma'am?
No, I won't.
We went into the tent. She was tight-lipped, pale. Four hours later, at exactly 2 o'clock, she called a halt to the play and the tent was cleared. Chase, flushed with whiskey he had taken and $100 he had won, joined me at her table.
A fine evening, ma'am. You're a credit to Cheyenne. You run a square game, and I'm going to say so in my next editorial.
Thank you, Mr. Chase, but you needn't bother. I'm leaving in the morning.
Oh, now you can't. You can't do that.
I'll be heading for Deadwood.
Why, ma'am, you could spend the rest of your life around here.
I'm afraid not.
Well, sure you can. Isn't that so, Kendall?
No, that ain't so. She's getting out. But before she does, she's giving me back that $1,000. Ain't you, Madam Verdi?
I very much doubt it. Go away now. before you get into more trouble.
Now you keep out of this, mister. I'm talking to the lady. Now how about it, Madam Verdi?
You lost fairly.
And I say I was cheated. Now, you know, folks in Cheyenne could do a lot of damage this place. Maybe to you if they found out about certain things.
Get out.
I will. When I get my money.
What's it all about? What?
Oh, he doesn't know, huh? Well, Mr. Chase, you can print it in your paper.
Print what?
Well, do I get it?
Yes.
No. No, it doesn't matter. Let him talk. The war's over. People won't mind.
People do mind, Mr. Kendall. I'm afraid they're going to go on minding for a long time.
I wish somebody would tell me what people will talk about.
Ask her.
You're a scummy little rat.
Maybe. But I was a rat that fought for the Union. I wasn't a stinking...
Shut up!
Oh, you're kidding me, eh?
Don't try.
Here's your money.
What's the matter, mister? You scared to draw?
Just waiting for you. You're the one who's going to do the killing, remember?
Bell City. Dirty, stinking Confederate spy.
Bell sentence?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sorry you had to do that, Mr. Kendall.
I am too.
I'll be gone in the morning. Thank you for your friendship.
Why not stay? Mr. Chase...
I think she better go. Thanks to Miss Sittons, I lost my brother in the Memphis Mobile raid. I'll wait for you outside, Kendall.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeannie Bates, Lawrence Dobkin, Stacey Harris, Harry Bartell, and Jack Crucian.
The Frontier Gentleman on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from June 29, 1958. It was part of the network's Sunday afternoon lineup at 2:30, then moving to 7 in the evening. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to Fort Laramie. Captain Lee Quince is portrayed by Raymond Burr in one of the few authentic radio Westerns of its golden age. The CBS broadcast called The Old Enemy from July 15, 1956 on CBS.
At the gallop! Ho!
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
How long would you say you've known him, Patchy?
I had that proud honor, I guess. 8-10 years now. Of course, I ain't had the privilege of serving with him since the war.
I still don't see why you just don't go right up to him and make yourself known.
Well, I wouldn't intrude on the captain that way, Drury. He's a busy man. tracking engines, planning battles. Besides, just because I recollect him so well don't mean he'd remember me.
But he's a kindly man.
Oh, the time will come, the just right time. I'll acknowledge myself to Captain Lee Quince.
I'll bet you he'll be proud knowing you asked Special to serve under him again.
Maybe surprised, even. Of course, I've only been with the company a week now, but it seems to me the men hold him right high in their thoughts.
I ain't been here long myself, but there's not a man I know wouldn't lay down his life for Captain Quince, if need be.
Well, now, that's nice. I declare that's real nice. Captain ever talked much about the war, any of his experiences?
Well, like I say, I ain't been here long myself. But the men say he's not much for talk about anything.
Never was. Even when he was younger, when most men talk free, he was more for action than words.
Yeah. Funny, ain't it? How you can sense so much good feeling in a man without him talking much.
That's a funny thing, all right.
I like to draw duty with the captain. I sure do. I always have the feeling that no matter what, he's been thinking ahead, planning for us. I feel safe riding with the captain.
Of course, it's hard to tell what a man's thinking if you don't make his thoughts known.
It don't matter to me much what he's thinking, so long as he's acting good.
That's the big thing, how a man acts. Oh, this sure is different country out here. Different kind of fighting country, too.
How you mean?
We fought closer in the war. Like there'd be a stream here, you see?
Yeah.
Say it was a kind of clearing, you know. And on one side, the Rebs would be cowering in the trees. We'd be standing firm on the other side. Now, sooner or later, somebody's got to make a move for that water. For horses and for themselves. I tell you, you get thirsty. You get so you care more about water than living. Anybody's living.
Well, mostly, we're lucky out here. Seems like there's more creeks and
streams.
A man's
got a right to a drink when he's dry. More than dry, your insides get to feeling like sand, dust. Like though it's gonna crumble.
Patchin? What's the matter with you, Patchin?
You say something, Drury?
Ask if something was wrong.
Wrong, boy? No, nothing's wrong. I just get a thirst sometime.
You talked yourself dry. It ain't hot. We got plenty of water. There's a stream not 50 yards from you.
I know that, I know.
You were saying about the fighting being different in the war.
Yeah. Like I said, we fought closer. Man to man sometimes. A man to dismount, fix his saber to his carbine, and such a bloody slash in a way you never saw.
I ain't seen nothing like that in the West.
Out here, seems like you do more chasing than anything else. We've been tracking engines, how long? 2 days now? I ain't drawn my sights on one. Have you, Drury?
That ain't saying they ain't here. Somewheres. Captain Quince must think they're around.
Well, you know I'm not saying that. Why, there ain't a man among you come less near to criticizing the captain's judgment. Well, you're forgetting, boy. I know better than any of you what a great man he is.
Looks like they're campsite ahead, Mr. Syberts. Must have made camp here last night.
Yes, sir. We've been just about a day behind them all the way, haven't we, Captain?
And it looks like we're going to stay that way. I'll say one thing for them. They pick good campsites.
Captain, it's the end of the fourth day. Didn't Major Daggett say if we could catch him in 4 days, fine, if not, report back to Fort Laramie?
Yeah. Those are the orders, Mr. Syberts.
Seems like a waste somehow. All this riding only to turn back.
One thing, we don't lose many men this way.
That's true, Captain.
They won't be the first who slipped off the reservation, got away with it. Sergeant!
Go!
We'll make camp ahead at Bitter Creek.
Yes, sir. I guess we lost him, sir.
The Sioux? We never had him to lose, Sergeant.
No, sir.
I declare, Captain, I'm real sorry about that.
No harm done. You better get on with your job, Trooper.
Patchen's the name. That's if you don't remember.
I remember.
I kept hoping I'd bump into you, Captain, sir. Sure enough, I did.
You been with B Company long?
Just a week. I didn't want to bother you, seeing you was heading up this big engine chasing operation. I didn't see any engines myself, but the men keep telling me they must be somewhere around. Captain Quince wouldn't be out chasing them.
We're moving back to Fort Laramie starting tomorrow. When we get there, I'll see you get a transfer to another company.
Now, I'm sorry to hear you say that, Captain. I've been looking forward to this reunion longer than I can tell. Tell the truth, I thought you'd hold a higher rank by now, seeing men like Custer and McKenzie are generals. And you're their equal, I could swear to that. I've been telling them...
You got a job to do, Trooper. Better get on with it.
Is that an order, Captain, sir?
That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain.
Well?
I thought maybe you'd want to know. It didn't just happen my being in your company. I asked for this duty special. On account of us being such old friends.
I guess you remembered him all right, Captain.
When was that, Drury?
Patchen, sir. He was worried for fear you might not remember who he was.
That so?
I told him. I knew you'd recollect. You're just not the kind of man to forget a friend.
He's been talking to you a lot, Drury?
I'll put it this way, sir. I know you a lot better since meeting up with Patchen.
I wonder.
Well, I feel I do. The rest of the men, they feel like I do. We wasn't surprised to hear it exactly, but we sure didn't know you mapped campaigns for General Sheridan. General Cook, too. And all them acts of bravery when you led the
Trooper.
Charge. Yes, sir?
You got duty with the mess sergeant, right?
That's right, sir.
Move out.
Yes, sir.
Captain, sir?
What is it, Gorse?
The camp's most bedded down, Captain. The pickets are out.
Who's on picket duty?
It's our last night out, sir. Corporal Jenkins used the rest of the patrol.
Who are they, Gorse?
Well, sir, he put Vickers and Culp up by the bend. Over the west, he's got Stevens and Holt. Then over south, Beale and Patchen.
I told Corporal Jenkins no picket duty for Patchen, and I meant it.
Captain.
No picket duty for Patchen. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Captain?
Mind if I say something, sir?
I mind if anybody says something, Mr. Seibertz.
I just want to ask you why.
I wouldn't bother asking, Mr. Seibertz.
It's about the men, Captain. I have the right to speak out about the men.
You've got the right.
They're tired, sir. They've ridden 4 days out, 3 days back. We've been moving like someone was chasing us. Only no one is.
Any other observations, Mr. Syberts?
Yes, sir. Everyone stood his turn at picket duty. Everyone but Patchen.
You're getting awful close to asking why again, Mr. Syberts.
I'm sure you have a reason, Captain. I hope it's a good one, because the men don't understand. I think we got a morale problem.
We won't have it long. We'll be back at the fort tomorrow.
Captain, if you'd like
Good night, Mr. Syberts.
That all you have to say, Captain?
It's clear. I'm asking for Patchen's transfer.
But you won't say why.
If you're talking about those forms you fill out, Major, put down for the good of company morale.
I'm interested in company morale. I've watched, I've listened to Lieutenant Syberts, I've talked to Sergeant Gorse. Now I'm going to ask you, Captain.
It's personal.
We haven't got room for personal quarrels, Lee. Oh, this is so little like you, I don't even believe it. Nobody who knows you believes it. You don't let these things happen.
We're going to talk about that transfer?
No, we're going to talk about morale. Well, suppose I transfer this man. What good would that do? You've got a company out there. They're going to be here whether Patchen's transferred or not. They've watched this man get to you. As nearly as I can tell, he's been killing you with kindness.
That's what he's trying to do.
Why? Why?
He hates my guts. Goes way back.
No picket duty for Patchen. Why?
I like my camp safe when I'm in hostile territory, Major.
It'll be a lot of trouble to get his army record clear back to the war. But I'll go to that trouble, Lee, if you don't tell me.
I saved his life once. He's never forgiven me.
That's an odd thing to say.
It's the truth. I saved a lousy, gutless life. He knows it is. He lives with it.
He served under you?
I served under him.
Patchen was an officer?
Captain Joseph Patchen, New York Cavalry. Before I knew you, Major. Remember the little wars? Us on one side of a stream, them on the other.
And both of you needing the water in between? Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
5 days and nights we sat there looking across at him, waiting. Just waiting. We had a little water. We could have held out. The men were doing fine.
He ordered a charge?
He didn't order anything. We just split wide open crazy. Took off after that stream before anyone knew what hit. The men thought it was a charge, him being in command. We lost half a company.
You hate his guts too, don't you?
Every good man's got fear in him. I don't mind honest fear. I hate a coward, Major.
You were commissioned on the field, Lee. Was it there?
Yeah. He can't forget that either.
Surely he was relieved of his command.
Major Daggett, sir.
Sergeant Gorse.
Corporal of the Guard reports two deserters, sir. It's Patchen and Drury.
Pick your men, Sergeant. Fan out around the house. Check the barn.
Yes, sir. Holt, Vickers, cover the barn. You, Beale, Cup, the corral. Stevens and Fredericks. You, George, you come with me.
Afternoon to you, mister.
They trample that young wheat the army will owe me.
We didn't come here to trample your crop. We're looking for deserters.
New kind of grain, supposed to be special for the high plains. I put a lot of money in that grain. I want it to come up.
Two men, one just turned 20, the other older, my age or better.
I thought the army was for fighting Indians. Give that up, didn't they?
You need men to fight Indians, mister.
Don't look at me. I got enough trouble trying to prove up land like this. Didn't intend to ride off. I meant to stay with horses. Thought I could raise them. Good enough grazing land. Well, the Indians run the horses off. I'd get them grown strong on the grass. About that time, here they'd come. Indians.
You don't keep horses now?
A couple. They're not extra.
I'm going to have to look in your house, mister.
Well, I suppose you are. How many did you say you was looking for?
Two.
Brought quite a few soldiers along looking for two men. There's some kind of penalty for hiding soldiers who take a notion to run?
The army don't take kindly to it, mister.
Couldn't shoot a body, though, could you?
You've seen them?
You don't see many folks out this way. You and your soldiers are more than I've seen in months.
How long since you've been in Laramie Village?
Oh, a long time. I stay pretty close here. I knew you wouldn't find him here. Thought you'd want to see for yourself, though.
Captain, found this in the shed by the barn.
You prefer a cavalry saddle, mister?
I'm gonna have to find that out. Ain't used to it yet.
It'd help if we knew which way they headed when they left.
To tell you the truth, it's hard for me to think they was here at all.
Ah, let's go, Gorse.
Hey, Captain.
His boots.
Sure, he's wearing cavalry boots, owns a cavalry saddle. But he hasn't seen anyone.
You trample that young wheat, I'll send the army a bill.
You going up to the house at all, Captain? Talk to him?
Yeah, talking to him didn't do any good.
Kind of a sniveling one. Kept wanting to know why the captain himself didn't come to him, ask the questions. He took it real personal, like.
The captain himself's about through talking. I come up against any more crawly settlers, Gorse, I'm apt to start breaking a few necks.
I'm feeling a little mean myself. Three plates of warm grub sitting on his table. Him all alone in the house. He never heard of two deserters.
We'll find him.
Men want to awful bad. For you, Captain. That'd be some comfort.
That'd be some comfort, Gorse.
I sure feel bad about Drury. He was going to make a good trooper.
Yeah, I know. I thought sure Patchen would be out here near the stream. He gets an awful thirst sometimes. Let's check that barn again.
Yes, sir. There's only about 2 hours of daylight left. I hate to give them a night's start in this country.
We're not going to.
Oh, Captain.
You are the captain. Speak your mind, mister. We're busy. I'd like to talk to you alone.
I'll check the barn, sir.
All right, talk. I've been sitting up in the house trying to remember. I ain't sure, but seems to me I read somewheres once that there was a reward for turning in deserters. Now, did I just dream that?
There's a $20 reward, mister.
Only $20?
$20.
Well, ain't very much, is it? I don't suppose you're prepared to go any higher.
I'm not prepared to go that high, mister. But the army figures it's worth $20.
$20 a piece?
That's it.
Eight men looking for two men. And the total price on their heads is $40. Ain't no bargain, Captain.
It sure isn't. Total pay for the eight men looking is $4 a day, 50 cents apiece.
Is that all?
And the price isn't just for their heads, mister. We'd have to insist on the rest of them, too.
In here, Captain.
He was in the loft. He called down to me, then he come down himself.
Patching up there, too, boy?
No, sir. No, sir, he run. I don't know how far. I don't know how long ago. Captain, I don't know nothing.
You stay with him, Gorse. I'm going to find Patchen.
Yes, sir.
No, Captain. Don't you leave you. You hear me out, will you, please?
Sergeant Gorse will hear you out.
Patchen's got everything, Captain. He's got himself every kind of gun you ever saw. His and mine. All we could buy is steel. He's going to be waiting for you, Captain.
I hope he is.
You got to know my shame. It don't seem now it could have happened to me. It worked on me so slow, I didn't even know it was happening. But I know now. I feel all the ugly shame of it.
Talking's not much good now, Drury.
I ain't talking to save myself, Captain. I know that ain't right. I know it can't be. I'm talking to understand. And for you to know, I'm crawling with the shame of it.
The crawling's uglier than the shame, boy. I'm alone, Patchen.
That'd be your way, wouldn't it? Big, brave, alone. You must be the bravest man there is, Quince.
Come on down, Patchen.
I ain't coming down. I waited too long for this. I'm staying right here, and you're staying right there.
You got plenty of water?
Understand, I ain't aiming for you, Quince. I'm just trying out my arsenal. That was my pistol.
You're never going to last without water, Patchen.
I've got two canteens, mine and Drury's.
You could hit me if you tried good. You got a reason for not killing me, Patchen?
That last was my rifle. I got me a buffalo gun off the settler, blow you clean away. You wouldn't even leave no spark, Quince.
Come on down.
We're gonna do this slow, Captain. Just you and me. Maybe my shots will get a little closer to you from time to time. We'll keep it slow a while. I want you to die a long time, Quince. 5 days and 5 nights of dying. Remember, Quince?
I remember. You want me to die, all right. Long time of dying. But you aren't the man to kill me, Patchen.
You ain't coming after me. You ain't that brave, Quince.
Don't take a brave man to come after you, Patchen. Just takes a man.
If I have to do, I could hate you dead.
You hate yourself, Patchen. Wouldn't feel good killing me. You'd still have yourself.
You're gonna kill me? That what you're coming to do? Kill me? Please. Please don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you, Patchen. Wouldn't feel good. Killing a coward. Get up.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Paul Duboff, James Nusser, and Herb Vigran. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Seiberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 15, 1956 on CBS. And so closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.